Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Are y'all ready to worship? We just got done last night, the uproar. We want to just say, wow, what a great move of the Holy Spirit. I know Pastor Cody's going to just touch on it a little bit, but we had folks come in from Canada, Texas, folks from Virginia. We had folks from Ohio. I believe there are folks from Rhode Island, folks from Massachusetts, all over the Northeast. And we are blessed this morning. Some of you may be a little bit tired. That's all right. Shake yourself. You'll be all right. Amen. So we're going to enjoy. Brother Ted Shuttlesworth is going to be doing the praise, worship, and preaching this morning. We're going to keep him busy. Amen. So if you're ready to worship, let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're not here for religion. We're not here for tradition. We're here for you. Lord, we lay down all things that would try to distract us in the name of Jesus. We arrest our minds and we focus on Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We declare, God, that you are good and that today we will worship you. Today we will praise you. Today we will thank you. Today, God, to you and you only, we give all the glory. So, Holy Spirit, fill this room with your presence. Heal the sick. Save the sinner. Deliver those that are addicted. And God, you may get glory in our lives. And Lord, when we stand before you, well, you'll call us sons and daughters. Today we honor you. We love you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's worship together.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Say hallelujah. Come on, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord with me. You gotta praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord with me. Sing hallelujah. 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 Come on. Lift it up, hallelujah, yep, hallelujah. Come on, sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord. Everybody sing unto the Lord. Come on, hallelujah, say hallelujah. Just one more time today. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, put those hands together. This is my twin brother, John. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. 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 Come on. Praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord with me. Everybody praise the Lord with me. Just praise the Lord. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. 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 Just one more time today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. Hallelujah. Would you clap your hand? Yeah. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Somebody shout, I'm free. Come on, shout it, I'm free. It's one of my favorite songs. It said, I'm gonna clap a little louder than before. I'm gonna sing a little louder than before. Come on. I'm gonna jump higher than before. Somebody shout a little louder than before. Come on. Freedom, 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 yeah. Freedom. I'm gonna clap a little louder than before. Sing a little louder than before. I'm gonna spin wilder than before. Somebody shout a little louder than before. Come on. Freedom. Now, some of us, I know the enemy's trying to use tiredness to stop your praise. But let me just encourage you. Some of the best times to praise God is when your body's physically tired. Because your flesh is halfway out of the way already. And your spirit man can come alive. One of the things I like about the story of Jacob, the Bible said he wrestled with God all night long. I feel like half the reason he had to wrestle with God all night long is to halfway get his flesh out of the way. Because it wasn't until it was almost the morning that God said, let me go. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Somebody say today, I'm not going to let you go, Lord, until you bless me. Get this in your spirit today. There's a blessing available for you today. Not next week, not next month, not next year. Today is your day. So somebody lift those hands and say, I'm not going to let him go until he blesses me. Say it again. I won't let you go, Lord, until you bless me. So I want you to clap those hands. Come on. Get yourself in position for a blessing. Come on, do it one more time. I'm going to gonna clap a little louder than before. I'm gonna sing a little louder than before. Oh, I'm gonna jump higher than before. Somebody shout a little louder than before. Come on. Freedom. 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 We say freedom. 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 Come on, clap those hands a little bit. Cycles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free. Come on, let that be your story today. Declare it with us. So no more cycles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free. Lift those hands. One more time, say no more cycles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free. If that's your story today, somebody shout hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Freedom, freedom. Say freedom, 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 freedom. Yeah. Somebody lift up a shout of praise. Come on, come on, lift those hands and worship Him. If you're thankful for the blood of Jesus that washes away every sin, every stain, somebody say, I'm new because of His blood. I feel the anointing in here today. I said, something's getting ready to happen in here today. Yeah. Say, something's going to happen for me. Do you believe it? Tell somebody next to you, something's going to happen for you. I feel like saying, oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of... Come on. Hey, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood... You know that. Sing it again. Say, what can wash... Nothing. Oh, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Are you ready? Come on, sing. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other found I know. Nothing but the blood. Come on, lift it high, oh precious. That makes me white, makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fountain, oh, nothing but the blood. Come on, clap those hands one time. Hey! Hey, this is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of. Come on. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of. One more time. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, somebody there. Let me hear you play. Wonder-working power in the blood. Come on. Of the Lamb, lift your voice. There is power. It's in the precious blood. Everybody say power. In the blood. It is wonder-working power. Everybody say power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, there is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood. One more time, there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. It's in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hey! In the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, now lift up a shout of praise. Hey! Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Woo. And then we'd sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. If you're thankful this morning, come on. Singing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. I like like to say this, there's healing in the blood. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. It washes. It washes white as snow. Listen, this morning, if you need a touch in your body, I want you to lift your hand right where you're standing. We're going to sing this again. But I want you to know there's healing in the precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. It doesn't matter what you need. Today, the blood of Jesus is enough to drive out every sickness and every disease. And you can hold your testimony in your hand today. Let's sing it one more time by faith. Come on. Every voice, there is healing in the blood of Jesus. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. Yes, it washes white. Sing it like this, deliverance. There's deliverance in the blood of Jesus. There's deliverance in the blood of Jesus. There's deliverance in the blood of Jesus. Come on. Yes, it washes white. Now lift both hands and thank the Lord that it's yours. Come on. One last time. Come on. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Yes, it washes white. Washes white, yes, it washes white as snow.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I love singing about the blood. In certain songs, the devil hates more than others. He hates it when you sing about the blood. It just shouts one thing: defeat. Satan is 100% defeated in your life. There's nothing he has over you. You have all the power over the devil in Jesus' name. And the blood accomplished that task for you. You know, during the week, sometimes we have trouble come against us and we're not sure what to do. You got to start talking about the blood. This song that you just heard this morning, I'm praying the Holy Ghost gets stuck in your craw. So that when trouble starts to come this week, you're going to break out in a song that says, there's power in the blood. Come on, sing it.
Of Jesus.
There's power. That's the blood.
Of Jesus.
There's power in the blood. Of Jesus,
for it washes white as snow.
Hallelujah. It's all about the blood, amen. Thank God Jesus didn't remain in the grave, but on the third day he rose from the dead. Today, you and I are victorious. As you're going back to your chair, I just have to pray this. I know Brother Teddy prayed for this. Two things that are just on my spirit. I feel a word of knowledge is someone's right leg coming up your ankle, upward, and then when it hits your ankle, it swoops down around the inside. God's healing that right now. Somebody else has a problem with your tailbone. Constant pain in your tailbone. God is healing that right now. You start moving around. The pain. Amen. Come on, don't be a snob this morning. Go meet somebody you don't know. Come on, go find somebody. Don't be a snob. Come on, go find somebody. Go find somebody. Go find somebody now. Say good morning. I thank God for the blood. Praise God. Amen. Why don't you find your chair real quickly? I want to give a quick shout out to John and Jen Puma. They're here all the way from Buffalo. We love you, family. Amen. I had a wife. I don't know where she went. Where, oh, where has my wife gone? This morning, I also just want to give God praise for a woman of God in this church. Sometimes we don't give enough, accolades. I just want to thank the Lord for Sister Barr. Now, I know she hates this, but Sister Barr is 94 years old in the house this morning. And she's been following Jesus ever since she's been a little girl. You know, it's not just how you start, it's how you finish. And you know, woman of God, can I just say this to you? At 94 years old, I have people come to this church and they say, well, the music is too loud. Oh, pastor, it's too exhilarating in this place. You know, it's almost like too, you know, they just not enough reverence. And then I look at Sister Barr, 94 years old. She's probably been through every facet of the church world and music that we've had in the last 94 years serving Jesus. And you know what? She don't care what the music is. She just wants to worship Jesus. So if you've not had the time to meet Helena Barr, she's sitting on this side. Don't let her leave today without giving her a hug and telling her you love her. We respect you. We honor you. And today we love you very much, woman of God. Thank you. Amen. Pastor Bina Bibo.
Let's run those video announcements.
Hey, Histab family, we got some awesome things coming up. This week, we're going to be at the Chemung County Fairgrounds representing His Tabernacle. We'll have a booth set up there. If you want to help us reach our community, reach out to Pastor Chad at outreach@histabernacle.com and sign up today. Hey, something else we have coming up is our annual family picnic that's going to be at Harris Hill Youth Camp. It's going to be August 13th, right after church. But we want to make sure that you bring in Dish to Pass. Make sure it's giganto, like humongous. Supersize it. And bring your games. We want to have fun as a family and fellowship together. And bring Frisbees, too. We'll see you August 13th at the annual family picnic. Be there.
Good morning, family. How y'all doing this morning? Good. Well, good will be good for man, but how you doing in the name of the Lord? Come on, give your God a shout of praise. Amen. Thank you so much for coming out to our 9 a.m. service. If this is your first time here, can we just see your hand real quick? Your first time here, just slip up your hand. Okay, we got one back there. Come on, give it up for our guests. We have one over here. Thank you guys so much for coming to worship with us. We have a gift bag for you guys, so just check that out. And after service, on this side of the sanctuary, we have a guest reception. You can meet our lovely senior pastors, some of the other staff, and we'd love to just get to know you. If you're watching on live stream, we want to welcome you as well. You guys are part of our family. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, tuning in every single week. We love you guys for that so much. Just a few more things that are going on this week. Women's Ministry this Friday at the Way Center. There will be a coffee and can this night. So please go on the Facebook site, register for that. It's going to be a great time of coffee and painting. As we said, we have our annual picnic coming up. Extra large dish to pass. Bring your own drinks. Bring some games. And get ready to have some fun with your fellow people in the congregation. That'll be two Sundays from now after second service at the Harris Hill Youth Camp. As well, we also have Remnant Bible Institute starting up in 3 weeks. So if you guys are interested in attending Bible college, I need you guys to come and meet me ASAP so we can get you guys signed up. You do not want to miss that. And who enjoyed Uproar? Yeah, we're so thankful. We're going to have Pastor Cody come up and talk a little bit about that. But we're going to be shifting gears now to Rock the City. That's going to be coming up as well. So we're going to be talking about Rock the City as well. Make sure you guys are preparing your time, taking the time off to come and help, taking the time to serve, taking the time to sow into it, okay? Now we've touched the youth. Let's now turn around and touch our community in our own back door. Amen. If you guys have any questions, you guys want to get involved with Rock the City, please see Pastor Chad. We are more than happy to welcome you on board to help out with the team. But right now, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Cody.
Hey, so yeah, Uproar Conference was out of this world. Was anybody able to make it? Wave a hand at me. Hey, we want to do something real quick because none of that would have happened without the amazing people in this body on multiple levels. A, in giving. Like, honestly, thank God for you and your obedience to what he's asked you to do. But the second part is your time. We literally have had people there since Monday setting up, preparing. We've had people take off an entire week of work. We had people literally there from like 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. I know some people were still here at 2 in the morning last morning making sure the building was reset. So if you volunteered, can you go ahead and stand to your feet real quick? We want to just honor you or gave. We want to honor everyone that played a part in this. If you sacrificed your time, if you sacrificed your money, go ahead and put your hands together. This is what a body can do together and what I love to see and what's going to happen in our region. And real quick, I'm going to pick on Mackenzie. She's going to have to get out of her seat real quick. Maya, let her know she's not listening. She's writing her offering. Come here real quick. Yeah, I was writing my offering. I didn't hear. Hey, guys. So we all know that Mackenzie is the worship pastor here now. And oh, my goodness. Can I tell you how cool it was to watch her step into, like, Destiny on Friday night and how her team crushed it? It was so stinking cool to see them up there doing what God has put inside of them to do for the rest of their life. But we just want to honor her real quick because the last 3 years, she's actually directed conference and done an amazing job. Now, that's not just like, oh, I show up on Monday of conference week. That's like, the fundraising events. It's like 49 weeks, 50 weeks of planning and working to make this happen. And because she's the worship pastor, I was told I can't keep her doing this. So we just want to honor her in transitioning out of running conference and say thank you for 3 years of serious, like, amazing sacrifice and service and everything that she's done. So, guys, go ahead. If you served at conference, thank you, His Tabernacle, for making a generational impact in what Jesus is going to do as we flip this world upside down.
Wow. These are the ones that have turned the world upside down. And that includes all of you. Because of your giving, amen, God is so good. So as we start this time of tithes and offerings, in this house, we go to the Word of God. Not to the Word of man, but to the Word of God. So really quickly, the Word of God says in Leviticus 27:30 that the tithe, and the definition of the word tithe, is 10%. That's not a made-up term, number that we just picked out of a hat. The word tithe means 10%. The tithe is holy and belongs to the Lord. So 10% of your income is holy and belongs to the Lord according to the Word of God. And I love God. He's so awesome. He doesn't just say, oh, I need 10% of your money. Then he goes on to say in Malachi 3:10, test me in this and see if I will not pour out a blessing and supernatural favor on your finances. We hear testimony after testimony, week after week, on God pouring out blessing when you are a faithful tither in the house. And then Haggai, last week, we brought to you the word of the Lord from Haggai 1:6, where it talks about how you drink and you're not satisfied. You're clothed and you're not warm. You earn wages, but it's like you're putting your money in pockets with holes in them. And that's when you've neglected the tithe, neglected the house of God. That's what happens in our lives. And that's not God's desire, because in Psalms 35:27, he says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. It brings him so much joy when we are obedient in our tithes and offerings and walk in that prosperity. That is the destiny that he has for every child of God. Amen. So are you ready to walk in your destiny of prosperity and blessing this morning? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God, and it is Deuteronomy 28. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button, give right along with us, or even text to give.
Everything that I touch turns to gold and not to dust. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Everything that I touch turns to gold and not to dust. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Oh, everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Everything that I touch turns to gold and not to dust. Everywhere that I go, everywhere that I Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Everything that I touch turns to gold and not to dust. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Oh, everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Everything that I touch turns to gold and not to dust. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed. Everything that I touch turns to gold and not to dust. Everywhere that I go, I am blessed.
Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you. I love going to church. Some people you got to pry to church. Some people you got to beg to church. Some people you got to guilt into church. But man, get out of my way. I want my seat. I love being in the house of God. I love where the presence of the Lord is. There's joy. This morning, we are so blessed. We have so enjoyed watching this man of God literally grow up. My wife and I first met him, I believe, when he was 12 years old. Maybe a little bit younger. 1991.
He's only 19 now.
Ha, 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 ha. He's gonna have to repent before he preaches now. But not just watching him grow up physically, spiritually, there has been a leap in the last 3 years where the anointing on his life has increased, the gifts of God have increased, his authority has increased. And you know, when your authority increases, everything changes. And we are blessed to have him here this morning, not just at Uproar so he can speak to the young people, but he has a message from God for you. And what I love too is he believes in laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. He knows that in the name of Jesus, devil's got to come out. Amen. He knows that in Jesus' name that your sins can be washed away. And so let's welcome together Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. as he comes and gives the word.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, can we lift our hands and give Jesus some praise because he's good? Come on, magnify the name that's above every other name. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, let's bow our head. Father, today, as we open up the mighty word of God, I pray that you would let every heart be open to receive the word. Lord, don't let there be any distraction that holds us back from receiving what impartation you have for us today. Let us focus our faith on the goodness of God. But by the time we leave this church, let us leave with testimonies in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you that by the time this year comes to an end, that we will be holding our testimonies in our hand in the mighty name of Jesus. That there is no devil that can hold back what God said is ours. And we will have it, and we will walk in the goodness and the prosperity and the healing and the peace of God in Jesus' wonderful name. And if you believe it, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, listen, I'm going to have you turn in your Bible in just a minute, but I want to make just a couple of quick announcements that I'm so excited about. Number one, if you have not ever received our magazine, Miracle Word Magazine, it's absolutely free. It's released on a quarterly basis, and we would love to send it to you absolutely free. But my wife, Carolyn, who will be here in the second service with our children, she writes an article every time this comes out. She's been writing some phenomenal articles for the ladies. In this one, I love this article she wrote in this edition. It's called How to Make Sure Your Kids Go to Heaven. Amen. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And part of what belongs to you is your children. Amen. And a phenomenal article there. These things are faith building. We want to build your faith. We put testimonies in here because we want people to see God's power is still moving today. It's not just something he did back when Smith Wigglesworth was alive or in the early church. The power of God's still moving today. Hallelujah. You know what? I'll tell you a testimony that really stirred me up recently. A young girl came into one of our meetings in Massachusetts, and I prayed for her. Mother brought her up. I think she was only 5 years old at the time. Her name's Gabby. And she was allergic to over 35 different things. Couldn't eat hardly anything. Every berry, every nut, dairy, peanut butter. I mean, everything you could think of, she was allergic to. And so she was having a rough time in life. Her mom brought her forward. We laid hands on her by the power of the Holy Ghost. And little five-year-old Gabby, the power of the Holy Ghost came into her body and drove out every allergy by the power of his Spirit. So they took her back to the doctor, and her doctors refused to believe that she was free of her allergies. So they kept her in the hospital for hours, putting every one of those things in her body. I believe her mother told me that they forced that little girl to take over 38 shots in her back to prove she still had the allergies, and she didn't have one reaction to one of the shots. Hallelujah. You know what's awesome? After that, they still weren't convinced. The doctors were still not convinced. So they made her sit in their office for an hour and a half eating spoonfuls of peanut butter to try to get a reaction. And nothing could cause a reaction because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we share testimonies like that with you because we want you. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so this will stir you up. These will be a blessing to you. If you'd like to receive this magazine absolutely free, you can do one of two things. You can either sign up at the table in the lobby as you leave, or if you've got your phone on you, you can go to miracleword.com/magazine, sign up right there, and we'll shoot it right to your house. Can you say amen? Also, I know we probably had this last time we were with you. We wrote this book, Blood on the Door, which God began to impress me this morning to just begin to preach a little bit on this subject. But one of the wonderful things, Bishop Rick Thomas, who's been here to minister to you, he is now my pastor as I live in, I just moved to South Florida just a few months ago. And but he was so gracious to us. When we released this book, Blood on the Door, he said, I'm going to make my staff available to you because there needs to be a study workbook to go along with this. He said something which I was blown away that he said this. He said, this is a message that this generation must hear. He said, it's a foundation stone for this generation. And I believe that the power that is in the covenant we have with God. Amen. And so he made his staff available and we collaborated and created a study guide for individual or group study. This is phenomenal for small groups, for individual study, to go deeper into the understanding that you are divinely protected by your covenant with God. Hallelujah. So these things are available. You can stop in the lobby before you leave. It'll be a blessing to you. Can you say amen? Exodus chapter 12. And I'm going to read you just a short portion of scripture regarding the power of our covenant. And as you're turning to Exodus 12, let me read you something from Exodus 11. Moses is speaking to Pharaoh about the release of God's people. I want you to say this with me. When God is involved, his people must be released from every captivity. So it doesn't matter what it is that's in your life that's holding you captive. When the power of God's moving in your life, there must be a release from every captivity. Amen? And the Bible says in verse 4 of Exodus 11, Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant who's behind the handmill, all the firstborn, even of the animals. And there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such as never been heard, nor shall ever be heard again. Look at this. Verse 7, this is your story, by the way. But against any of the Israelites shall not so much as a dog move his tongue against a man or beast, so that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between his people and the people of this world. Now here it says, between the Egyptians and Israel. But I want you to know that today, as we belong to Jesus, we are Abraham's seed today. And we are heirs according to the promise. Paul taught it this way. We have been grafted in and have become spiritual Israel. Can I encourage you this morning and let you know that when God moves, His purpose is to make a distinction so that His people look different than the world's people. I say it this way. You should not, if you've got a redeemer, you shouldn't look the same as someone who doesn't have a redeemer. If you've got a healer, you shouldn't look the same as someone with no healer. If you've got a provider, your life shouldn't look the same as someone who has no provider. If you've got a comforter, what business do you have on antidepressant prescription medication? If you've got a comforter, you shouldn't look the same as someone who doesn't have a comforter. What am I saying? Why do I need the welfare of a man when I've got the welfare of heaven operating in my life? What business do I have? See, here's the thing we need to understand. As long as the enemy can keep the power of God from flowing in your life, you will always be a beggar in some area of your life. Wherever you don't dominate by the power of the Holy Ghost, you will be dominated. And interesting enough, anywhere where you're dominated, it turns you into a beggar in that area. I'll prove that to you from Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are going up to the gate of the temple during the hour of prayer. And when they get there, there's a lame man sitting by the gate. What's he doing? Begging for money. Now, the man didn't have to be a beggar, but his crippling condition had turned him into a beggar. He wouldn't have had to be a beggar if he wasn't crippled, because he could have worked and made his own money and been blessed. But because he could not dominate the crippling condition that was in his body, it wasn't just that he was lame, it also turned him into a beggar. Wherever you don't dominate, you are transformed into a beggar. Thanks for the shouts. That's why dominating in the power of the Holy Ghost is important. That's why having God's power work in your life is important, because there needs to be a distinction, a line drawn in the sand where God says, take a look. These are my people. They look different than the world's people. Here's what I like about it. No matter what's going on in the world, see, my covenant with God does not change based on what's happening in the government, what's happening in the Wall Street market arena, NASDAQ, Dow Jones. That stuff doesn't change my covenant with God. I don't care what disease is sweeping through this nation or any other nation. It doesn't change my covenant with God. I don't care what the Center for Disease Control can't figure out a solution to and tells everybody just batten down the hatches because there's stuff coming we don't have any prescription medication for. That doesn't change our covenant with God. He's still the same healer if they've got medication or not. He's still the same healer whether there's a surgery to fix it or not. He's still the same provider if they've got money or not. He's still the same comforter if you've got depression or not. What changes in the world doesn't change what's in heaven. Hallelujah. I said, what changes in the world doesn't change what's in heaven. That's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know why? There's no sickness in heaven. No poverty in heaven. No chronic depression in heaven. No pornography addiction in heaven. Let your will be done. And here's the thing about it. Once you get anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost, you are God's agent of change on this earth, to take the will of heaven and bring it to pass on the earth. If God is for you, tell me who's going to stand against you. Let me encourage you with something. before I go any further. If God has empowered you by his spirit, tell me what devil is going to tell you that you can't do or be what God said you would do and what you would be? What devil is going to point his little bony finger in the face of the Almighty God and say, God, I know you said they're healed, but I'm going to keep them bound in sickness? Who does he think he is? Who does he think he's talking to? He's not talking to some little punk. He's talking to the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What business do cancer cells have living in a body that's filled with a life-giving spirit? What business does type 2 diabetes have staying in a body filled with the Holy Ghost? See, you got to get mad about this thing and declare there ought to be a distinction. Why am I living the same as somebody who's got no Savior? Why? There's a power in the blood. I said, there's a power in the blood. God spoke to Moses. He said, here's what you do. Take a spotless lamb, slaughter it. Take the blood, grab some hyssop, drape it in, and paint the doorposts of your home. And I will send a death angel. I don't know if you know this. The death angel didn't come from the devil. God sent the death angel. I want to show you something. Anything that opposes you, God has a special enforcer to destroy it by the power of his spirit. You understand, the Egyptians were not the Israelites' friends. They were not their buddies. These were people who had put them into slavery, tortured them, beat them, worked them, overworked them, and stole from them. But these are God's covenant people. He said, oh, you want to treat my people like that? I got an answer for you. At midnight, I'm going to send an enforcer from heaven who's going to walk the streets of your city. Doesn't matter if you're a beggar down in the lowest part of the city or if you're Pharaoh sitting on the throne. There's nobody that carries power on the earth that supersedes the power of heaven. You can't stand in front of God's people and tell them they won't if God said they will. He said, at midnight, I'll send a death angel. Can I tell you why that's exciting? He'll let that death angel come right into your body and kill every wicked force trying to kill you. But you don't understand. The doctor said it's cancer. Good. Let the death angel come and kill every cancer cell. Well, they said it's arthritis. They said it's glaucoma. Good. Let the death angel come in and kill every wicked thing that was sent to kill you. And here he came down the street. But the Bible says they obeyed, and they had already painted the doorposts of their home. Now, I'm not a scholar by any means. I was homeschooled in West Virginia, if that tells you anything. Amen. And my mom did a great job. I still use things like ain't. So I'm not standing in front of you claiming to be a Hebrew scholar, but I talked to some Hebrew scholars. And this is what they told me. They said if you were to speak ancient Hebrew or learn the ancient Hebrew alphabet, that you take that blood, and when they painted it, they thought they were just painting their doorpost. He said, but have you ever seen any Jewish people wear a necklace with that letter from the Hebrew alphabet on their necklace, and it looks like a square with no bottom on it, and there's a little curl on one side of that thing? He said, that is one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It is the letter Chet. I had to practice that. Chet. It's like you say hate with a hairball in your throat. Chet. And he said, that's a letter. He said, but when you study the Hebrew alphabet, every letter doesn't just have a sound like our alphabet does. It also has a meaning and a definition behind it. And it's associated with words or word pictures. And he said the letter that they wear on their necklace is the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the word means life or new beginnings. That's why they wear it on a necklace. They wear that thing that means life or new beginnings on their necklace. But what they didn't realize, as they were painting the doorpost of their home, they were painting that letter on their house in their own language. And when the Hebrew God sent the Hebrew death angel to walk down the streets of Egypt, when he came in front of a house where he saw the blood, he didn't just see the blood, he saw life and new beginnings on every house. And he said, I'm not going in there, because they've painted their house with the life of God, with the new beginnings of God. And when the blood of Jesus, let me just say something to you here. It wasn't the blood that kept the death angel out. That was just a natural lamb. There's no blood of any animal that can keep a supernatural force out of your house. Do you know what the death angel saw when he looked at the blood? He saw in the blood the word of God. Because it was God's own instruction from his mouth that said, paint the door. He didn't see the blood, he saw the word. And when the word of God is on your house, there's a barrier around your house, a barrier of God's word. What devil thinks he's going to penetrate the barrier of God's word? If God said it, will he not do it? If he spoke it, will he not bring it to pass? Jeremiah 1:12, God said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. You know what God's saying? I'm going to say this thing and see, is anybody going to come challenge what I just said? If some little devil thinks he's going to come challenge what I just said, I'm standing here watching over my word to perform it. That means if he thinks he's going to stop it from producing what I said it's going to produce, I'll come down myself and smack him out of the way. I'm watching over this to perform it, to make sure it works like I said it would work. Somebody say the word barrier. The word barrier surrounds your house, and there's no evil thing. This was true all the way back in the Old Covenant before Moses even got the law. Because there was a man named Job, and the Bible says, before even the Mosaic covenant was set up in the earth, Job was just living under an Adamic covenant, Adam's covenant. Very basic. And the Bible says the devil came to heaven and said to God, God. And God said, take a look at my man Job. He said, God, I can't mess with him. I've tried, but you have set up a hedge of protection around him. In the oldest of the old covenants, there was a hedge available for God's men and women that the devil wished he could have broken through, but he couldn't break through. Even in the oldest of the old, but I read a scripture in the Bible that said that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. I'm not living under an old covenant. I don't have to leave here today and sacrifice a bull or a goat, because there's a man named Jesus who shed his blood to take away every sin, to remove every sickness, to remove all poverty, and the blood is on the door of your home. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. If the blood of a natural lamb could keep a death angel out, how much more can the blood of an eternal lamb keep every wicked thing out of your house, off of your children, out of your mind, out of your body? How much more can the blood of the eternal Lamb Jesus wipe out every evil force? You know, when I travel, if I go overseas, I don't have to take shots. Well, you have to understand there's disease in these nations. You got to use wisdom. I already used wisdom when I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. If I die, you hear me, if I die because I went to preach the gospel in a nation and caught some disease and it killed me, I will be talking in heaven to some guardian angels with vehement force. Where were you on that one? If there's something in this natural world that can kill me while I'm working for God, let it try. I said, let it try. The same power that was in the body of Jesus, the same power that floated into the tomb on the third day and grabbed a hold of Jesus' lifeless body and shook it back to life, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in you and dwelling in me, and he'll quicken my mortal body. Is this too much for the 9 a.m. service? Are we going too hard? I'm telling y'all, if something can kill me, then the Bible is not true. If I can preach this gospel, live by faith, walk in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and some disease shrivel my body away and put me in a tomb, then you should tear up your Bible. But the Bible said the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and he shall quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quicken your mortal body. To the point, I don't care what comes against you. The Bible says in the Great Commission, you'll go into all the world, and if you eat or drink any deadly thing, it won't harm you. The man who leads the largest denomination in Africa and around the world, his name is Dr. Enoch Adeboye. He's 73, I think now, 72, 73 years old. He has such a large denomination, there's people vying for his position to be the head of the denomination. And a couple of years ago, right before he turned 70, they poisoned his soup to try to kill him and get him out of the way so one of them could step up and become the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. You know you've got issues if you try to murder your leader so you can be the head of a Christian organization. They poisoned his soup to kill the man at 70 years old. He ate the soup. His stomach was troubled. He went into it, but the power of the Holy Ghost came into his body. I'm not talking about I'm talking about poison that was supposed to take him out immediately. Ate it, upset, went back to his room, and the next day came walking out with no problem. I'm sure they were afraid. Here comes a man you can't poison. Here comes a man you can't assassinate. Here comes a man you can't kill. Why? Because you can eat or drink any deadly thing and it will not harm you. Why? There's a life-giving force inside your body that will give you life. He said you'll tread on serpents and scorpions. Acts chapter 28, Paul is shipwrecked. Goes to the island, finds himself on the island of Malta. He didn't even know where he was. Gets to the shore. The people welcome them and the disciples in, build a fire, keep them warm. Paul's going to get the fire a little hotter. The Bible says he goes, and as he's picking up wood for the fire, there was a serpent coiled up underneath the wood. And when he picked it up, a poisonous viper leapt up and bit his hand. And the people, the Bible says in Acts 28, all looked at him, expecting him to die. Ooh. He's got secret sin. Just like religious people do whenever there's an attack of the enemy. Oh, must be secret sin there somewhere. Something wrong behind the scenes. Or are we just engaged in a warfare? You got to use your faith to overcome every... The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Bible said the big old poisonous vipers hanging from his hand. And instead of him dying like they thought he would, he just walked over to the fire that they had built and shook it off. And the snake fell into the fire. Now see, snakes like the warmth. So as the fire had been built, the snake had coiled itself up under the wood next to the fire and was sitting there just getting warm. the fire always brings the snakes out. That's why when you go to a Holy Ghost church, you've always got somebody getting offended, getting mad, talking about you behind your back, trying to split the church, trying to cause issues, trying to cause problems, looking like a saint, but they're actually a serpent. And the fire always brings the serpents out. That's why you can go to some churches, it's just a social club. Half the people aren't even saved. They just like to pass out their business card, sell their Amway, connect on LinkedIn, get a cup of coffee, watch a light show, and go home. No Holy Ghost, no word, no power. So no snakes come. But when you get the fire of the Holy Ghost flowing, the snakes start coming out. But let me encourage you, the same fire that brought the snakes out is the same fire that will consume them. Because the Bible didn't say that he sat there and struggled with it for 20 years of his life. He said the same fire that brought the snake out of the woodwork is the same fire that he get off into. I'm not called to struggle with some snake for 15 years. I'm not called. You're not called to struggle with some issue for 20 years, 70 years, never been able to get free. Let the same fire that brought the attack to your life burn up the attack that is in your life. Now, let me just say this before I pray. The Bible says weeping may endure for one night. Anything in your life that's caused you sorrow, grief, anguish, weeping for more than one night has overstayed its welcome. And I don't know what it is you're battling this morning, but there's an anointing in this house. There's a fire in this house. I don't care if it's sickness and disease. I don't care if it's chronic depression, anxiety. I don't care if it's addictions. There's some people that love the Lord, trying to get free, but they come in on their way to heaven, but smelling like hell because they can't get free of addiction from nicotine and cigarettes, and they smoke every chance they get. There's some people that don't even want to be bound, and they can't get free. You can't tell me that it's really something that people enjoy in the middle of the winter when you have to go outside and take a break from your job and go out there. That's bondage, my friend. And you can be free by the fire of the Holy Ghost. People bound with alcohol addiction, pornography addiction, issues in the mind, issues in the body. The same fire that brought it out is the same fire that'll burn it up. There's an anointing that'll set you free. I want you to shout amen. And the Bible declares, when the people saw that he had not died, they changed their story. Oh, he doesn't have secret sin. Maybe he's a god. But can I tell you something? They might have been more right than they knew. Because the Bible says, God said, Psalm 82 and verse 6, I have said, you are gods and children of the Most High. Let me just explain to you this way. Because I know I'm sure 70% of you thought that was heretical. Let me show you from the Bible. If two dogs get together and have babies, they're always coming out dogs. If two cats get together and have some babies, you got 12 kittens sitting next to your heater in the house. Two horses, it's always going to be a horse. Doesn't matter if there's three unicorns, it's going to be a unicorn. Two dragons, it's coming out a dragon. I don't really believe in these animals, but if two humans have a baby, it's coming out human. But when God has a child, it comes out God. Oh, my goodness. Did you read the scripture that said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Do you know why the devil hates you so much? Because the devil said, I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt myself to the throne. I will rule heaven and earth. And God said, you won't. Pow, and smacked him down into the earth. And then, just to put it in his face, just to rub it in the devil's face, he said everything he wanted to be, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our likeness. And now when the devil sees you walking around this earth, he hates you immediately. Even if people that are not saved, he hates them too, because they are everything he wishes he could be. The Bible said that our Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil goes about like a roaring lion. Didn't say he is one, said he wishes he was one. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Can I say this to you? Man was just clay until something happened. Do you know what happened? God pulled his face down right over man's face and breathed the breath of life, and man became a living being. Do you know what that is? When that came out of his mouth, it was the same breath that came into the tomb on the third day, and a man who was laying dead once again, the last Adam. The first Adam got the breath, and the last Adam got the breath, because he was laying dead until God breathed his breath from heaven again. And into the tomb came the breath of life one more time, and it got into that dead body that was going to decompose if it didn't get any help. And when the breath of God came into Jesus' dead body, he sat up, took a breath, and came back to life. And let me encourage you, as you stand on your feet and the musicians come back, that same anointing that was breathed into Adam's clay body, that was breathed into Jesus' dead body, that same breath is on the inside of you today. Romans 8:11, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, guess what's going to happen? He's going to quicken your mortal body. That word in the original Greek means he's going to startle or make alive your mortal body. Oh, hallelujah. I said he's going to shake it back to life. Has anybody ever woke up in the middle of the night to go use the restroom and you forgot your kids left a toy on the floor in the middle of the... You were half asleep. And all of a sudden, pow, you're stepping on stuff, hurting the bottom of your feet, trying not to scream cuss words. What happened? You were half asleep and dead. But when that happened, you got startled and made alive. You got quickened. Something ever scared you? You were normal. Something scared you. Your heart started pounding. Adrenaline flowed through your body. You were ready to run a marathon. What happened? You just got quickened. The same spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead is in this house today. He's in you today, and he will quicken your mortal body. Bow your heads. Two things I want to say today. Number one, if you're in this place and there's sin in your life, you don't belong to Jesus. He's not your Savior. He's not your Lord. He must belong to you and you to him before a quickening spirit can be placed on the inside of your body. As long as you don't belong to him, his blessings don't belong to you. And if there's even one person in this church today that you don't belong to Jesus, you know if he were to come back today, you're not ready to see him or look him in the eye, because sin is controlling your life. Don't leave this church the same way you came in this morning. Leave changed. If you say, that's me, preacher, I know there's things wrong in my life and I need to be right before God. Wherever you're standing, lift up your hand, hold it high. I'm going to pray with you. I see it back there, over here, here, back over there, back over there, back over there. Who else? Over here, God bless you. God bless you. Do me a favor. Quickly move out of your seat and come stand with me at God's altar. Come on. Come quick, quick, quick. If you raise your hand, come quickly. Come on. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Bless you, bro. God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you. Come on. If Jesus is calling you, come to the altar. Come to the altar. Come, 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 come. Come. Listen to me. If you lifted your hand, get out of your seat. Who cares what anybody might think about you? Who cares? Who cares? The question is, what does Jesus think about you? What does Jesus think about you? I'll give you 20 more seconds and we're going to pray. If you need to be here, come quick, quick, quick. Jesus is calling. I said Jesus is calling. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bow your head all over this church. God bless you. Those of you that have come, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. The Bible says when you do, all things will be made new. Pray this. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending your son to die for me. I ask you now, forgive me of my sin. Make me new. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. I believe he's coming soon. Give me the power to live for you. Until I die or until he comes. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm free today. And I'm never going back into an old way of living. In Jesus' name. Now lift both hands and thank the Lord. It's done. Somebody rejoice as we welcome to the family of God. Oh, yeah. Now listen, stay right where you are. Any person in this church, I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm just going to ask you to lift your hands. If there's something that's been harassing your life, sickness, disease, depression, anxiety, I don't care what it is, addiction. There's an anointing in here to burn up every evil issue of the devil in your life. I'm telling you. God's done it for me. He's done it for pastors. He's done it for my family. He's done it for my parents. He'll do it for you. If you say, that's me, I'm battling, whether it's sickness, disease, whatever, lift your hand right where you're standing. I'm going to pray a prayer. You say, but aren't you going to lay hands on me? Bible said he sent his word and it healed them. Do you know there's just as much power in the word that goes forth as there is in a hand that's laid upon your head? So today we're going to release a word into your body. Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word. Those of you at the altar, if you're believing for freedom, lift your hand. And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever issue tried to come against your people, whatever thing that's harassing their body, mind, spirit, today we take authority over it by the power of the Holy Ghost and we rebuke it in Jesus' name. I command depression to go. I command anxiety to go. I command fear to go. I command addictions to be broken. I command sickness and disease to be driven out of your body by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I command you today, be free in Jesus' name. Now lift your hands and rejoice. Lift your hands and rejoice. Lift your hands and rejoice. Be free in Jesus' name. Lord, fill every one of these with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Fill every one of them with the mighty power of God. Fire of God. Fire of God. Come on, come on. Rejoice. Rejoice.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you gave your heart to Jesus for the very first time, or you don't have a Bible, I'd like you to make your way right over to Mindy right here. This young lady, she's waving her hand at you. Wave it up. There you go. Make your way right over to Mindy right now. We want to make sure we follow up. If you're just rededicating your heart, I'm so proud of you. Running this race, we're going to win. Amen. We're going all the way together. Turn to someone next to you and say, we're going all the way together. Amen. You're not alone. So if you've not spent time, if you have not given us your name and stuff in that manner, please see Mindy right over there right now. We love you. On your way back to your chair, we want to make sure that we sow. Amen. We believe in that in this church, sowing and reaping. We're going to sow this morning into Brother Ted Shuttlesworth's ministry. Today, I want you to grab the envelopes. I believe they're passing them out right now. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit what He wants you to give. We know the principles of sowing and reaping are so true. It's not as much about how much as obedience. When we obey God in what He would ask us to put into the ground, He promises to bring forth a blessing. The Bible says if you sow sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. So I wanted to write down on there what the Spirit of God is asking you to give. I know this, and this is something that happens. When my wife and I sow, and we sow every time we have opportunity. Why? Because we know that God's word is true. So as you write down what God is laying on your spirit, let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, that you are going to meet every need and beyond what Brother Shuttlesworth has with his family, Lord, with his ministry, with every aspect of life. And we declare in Jesus' name that he be blessed going in and blessed going out, blessed in his storehouse and blessed in his basket. We declare, God, that there'll be more than enough in every situation. And Father, as you lay that amount on our hearts, we declare in Jesus' name that, Father, we will bless him as he leaves his house abundantly as you are in heaven. In Jesus' name, and everybody said. Now, I just want to say there's somebody when you're breathing, your breath is very hot. And the top of your teeth hurt, down right down where you're chomped down. Whatever that is, God is healing you right now. Another person, your right collarbone, God is healing you. I want you to know that God loves you and that in this house, he's not just the God that we talk about. He's a God that moves, touches you, and changes you. And so today, the Lord bless you. As you bring your offering, enjoy the rest of your day. It's going to be sunny. Hang on for the ride. Glory to God. Be blessed as you sow into Brother Shuttlesworth's offering. Come on up and bless the Lord.